losers.
Hey, real quick, I'll go off on tangents easily. So, you know, here comes one. Who's the biggest sports fan of the people that are sitting there?
Definitely me.
Definitely not her.
All right.
Actually, hey, out of this lot.
I don't know who out of this lot,
probably
actually.
Ryan.
Well, Ryan. Leicester City
have got promoted. We're off to the Premiership. Yeah. I don't like to go on about it, you know.
American Ryan, just so you know, Wilso hasn't once, this Andrew, by the way, hasn't once mentioned Leicester City, but because they've been promoted,
I've done
he won't
quite
shut
well.
Up.
It's like 60 minutes so far, and it's usually about 10 minutes.
And wait.
So
well,
the answer
I missed something. What happened there?
Oh, so Leicester City is his favourite football team, English football.
Yeah.
And they recently got promoted from the crap league to the better league.
Okay.
And he's very, very happy about that.
I was going to say, I don't
like to go on about it.
I know enough about English soccer, I guess, the Premier League, that there are, three levels. And if you lose enough in one level, then you get knocked down a level the next season or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
And then if you do well enough, though, you go up a level.
Yeah, so Leicester are now in the top level, so playing Chelsea and Man U and stuff. Oh, I'm just too excited, sorry.
Who's your biggest sports fan? Actually, okay, wait, I go off on way too many tangents, so let me go back to the tangent I originally was going to go. To the biggest sports fan or anybody who wants to chime in America, with American football, there's been talk of an American football team in Europe. I would assume it would be London. At some point in time, tell me real quickly, is that, just for the Americans listening, is that even a feasible proposition? Would Brits really come out for an American football team regularly?
They played a game at Wembley, didn't they?
Yeah, they play one every year.
Like NFL days, and London is transformed. It's huge. Yeah,
I reckon it would be big time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like we were doing live links from the last NFL day that was on just around the corner. Yeah, Regent Street, not far from Leicester Square. And I went down with one of our presenters, Pandora, and it was ridiculous. I'm a big football fan, like soccer fan here, and I just didn't think it would be as big as that, and it was huge. It was mental, crazy.
And so you think it's actually possible then that an American football team could thrive over there?
I think so.
Wow, I would have never thought that. That's cool. Okay, back to the business here. I wanted to talk voice and writing, two extremely important things that producers have to deal with all the time. I love the voice selections you guys have on your stations. I know. At least I think the female, and I don't know their names, I apologize, the female is your more primary voice for the brand. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. I just got pointed at to answer the question.
Yeah, Joe, you talk.
Are you talking about Capital or Extra?
Capital, I'm sorry. Capital, the main Capital brand.
Yeah, well, Howard's kind of like, we describe him as he is our brand name, like... He is the voice of Capital. Everyone knows that name in the UK. He is our voice of God. And at the ball, when you hear his voice like echoing around the arenas, there's just no getting away from the voice of Capital. So I would say he is the main voice.
What's Howard's full name?
Howard Ritchie. He used to do Ministry of Sound. Cool guy. Crazy guy. Very good to work with. Very amusing. Keeps you on your toes. I think we'll all agree with that. And Helen is also another great VO. Helen Austin. And then for Extra, I voice the female voice on Extra. And a guy called Branty.
What's his name?
He's called a Branty.
Okay, awesome.
He's a presenter on the station as well.
Okay, excellent. I love the choices that you guys have made. I mean, they just fit so well, and people are interested though in that side of it. Real quick, unlimited deal. Can you send them copy anytime? And what kind of turnaround do you get, or do you have some sort of a limited deal with your voice talents?
I think because I'm in the station all the time, I kind of get the, oh, please, I'll make you a cup of tea. Would you just voice this line for me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, Joe, I assumed they abused you. So, yeah, I get that.
As for the others, then Chris can probably answer this a bit better than I can. Oh, he's eating crisps. We've got Helen and Howard on exclusivity deals. And then we have various sort of rapid responses where we would pay a fee for them to come in and do extra for us if it's not in their 3 or 2 day scheduled voice sessions that we have.
Oh, really? So you actually have them come in and voice your copy local? They don't do it elsewhere and send it over?
We see Helen on a Tuesday. She comes in, and then she's on ISDN on a Thursday. And Howard pops in now and again, makes himself known in the office, sits around, and then often comes in. I think it's good that he does come in, and we do see the voiceovers, because you can have a chat and you can get on, because you have to speak to them every day, and then sometimes you do need a favour. And if you miss one line off a voice session, you want to be able to get to your voiceover and just say, look, my bad, do us a favour, and things like that. So I think it's good that we do see them, but equally, they've both got access to ISDNs and they do MP3 and WAV, but we like to be able to direct them ourselves, really.
So generally you have them live in some capacity when you're getting your voice recorded. You're not really
definitely
making a habit of just sending copy out and waiting for the MP3 to come back.
No, never, because we want to make, for me, I want direction when I'm voicing. And that's for every promo. Yeah, we might have a style that I have to stick to, but, I think it's easy to get complacent if you know the way you're supposed to voice something. And especially for kind of Helen and Howard, they can come in, do the job with their eyes shut, but you never quite know if you're still on brand. And like Chris might have some, new idea of where he wants to take the sound or the voiceovers. He might want to, take the level down so they're more like monotone, or he wants to go happier Not that they'd want to go cheesier, but you never know. So I think it's good that you have direction all the time, and it actually just makes you feel better as a voiceover and more kind of secure, and I guess a bit more loved.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That I don't think it's a luxury that almost anyone gets here, but somebody I want to try and like bring everybody into the conversation. So I apologize if people are feeling left out. Maybe Andrew. Can you tell me, generally, radio in the UK or in Europe in general, or just London, is this the way it's done? Is that often the way it's done? Or mostly, are you guys living in a luxury and most of the time people are just sending out copy and getting MP3s back?
I really think it depends on voiceovers. Like some people just don't have access to ISDNs. And I don't know. We've got such high standards here that if we just get an MP3 back and it's not good enough, we won't just use it. We'll get it again and again and again. Like there's occasions when our voiceovers are on holiday, they don't like to take time off. So they will take a little setup so they can voice it on holiday, and they will send MP3s. And if they're not good enough, they do it again and they do it again until it's right, because the standards here are so high.
Yeah.
I don't know how other radio stations operate, because I've always worked within the same group.
Does anybody else in the room know? Is this kind of the standard, or most of the time is it actually, as I said, copy sent out, MP3s coming back?
When I was at Kerrang for 5 years, we never sent MP3s out. We always did ISDN. And that was when I did a stint of doing commercials and ads. We, again, did ISDN with all of them, because we want to direct. But that was a big regional station. That wasn't a local station.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I think it's a standard thing.
Again,
when I was in Mercia, which at the time was a local station, we did ISDN. So actually, the more I think about it, and I've probably been around to a few more stations than the guys in the UK. It was ISDN really.
Because, here in the States, there are certain situations where I know some of the bigger stations do, kind of live direct their talent. But I would say by far the vast majority is simply shooting copy off via email, getting an MP3 back and going with that. And again, because here I imagine we have a little more of one person producing seven stations. Writing, as I mentioned, is the next topic to get to. It's hugely important. I think everyone would agree writing is, if not the most important, top three things that goes into branding a radio station. What's the process there? I don't know. Chris, pick someone, or you chat about it to start. What's the process there on how your copy gets written and who's involved in it and then where it goes?
So we all write everything. So, again, part of the process would be, I know I keep coming back to the sales and promotion thing, but it's kind of like 75% of what we do, I suppose, on a day-to-day. But we'll be briefed in from a client or a program director and somewhere in the group or in London, and then it'll be assigned to like Joe will go through and make sure we've got all the information we need, and either she'll pick that up herself or she'll assign it to one of the guys who will then write a script. That script won't leave our hands until we're happy with it here. And we have some really strict guidelines in place for how we might deal with clients. But even just, for something that's station-led, we have some really strict guidelines for how we want that to look and sound. So we'll work really hard on making sure that we get the language right, we've got the right music and the right kind of drops or samples or music clips kind of written into it. And then from that point forward, if it needs to go to the client, it will. If it just needs to go to a program controller or a director or something like that, it will, to make sure that everyone's on the same page till we all agree, and then we'll move forward with it. The hardest thing, I think, is sorry to cut you off. I think the hardest thing is being the brand that we are. We've got quite a tight box that we like to work within. You know, we want it to be really exciting, really impactful, and really, you know, we want to concentrate on the hit music and the artists. So even if we're giving away 500 quid or an iPad, we want to make that fit with what we do as a brand, which is all about the music and the artists. So, you know, we can sometimes spend a lot of time writing something that makes something that's not that cool, I suppose, sound mm-hmm. really exciting and really brings it to life. And again, it's a shame that Damo's not here because he's the king at doing that. He's very, very good at it.
So you do have somebody on your staff that maybe is the heavy hitter when it comes to writing, somebody that you lean on a little more?
He's the big guy that can really make some really, you know, he can turn something. I mean, to be honest, if he was here, you could have told him, okay, in your script, you've got to put a snake, you've got to do something with Rihanna, and you've got to give away 300 quid, and he'd probably spend 10 minutes and come back with gold. He's very, very, very talented in that regard.
I'm just curious, somebody else can chime in too, but I've always thought that great stand-up comedians and then great writers always tend to be the crazier, more deranged people. Is that the case there?
Yeah, I've worked with a couple and have had to be the one where you've kind of had to go, that's a great idea, but it's not going to work for radio. So then you need to kind of rein it back in, and then you've come out with award-winning radio. However, with Damo, because he's worked in radio for so long, he knows what you can get away with and what you can't. And I think for the Capital brand, you know, you can't be too rude. I mean, at Kerrang! We got away with anything you wanted to say. But Damo knows the lines. He knows what he'll get away with. He knows what clients do and don't want. And we've got some great wins just from, you know, he comes to me with a script and he goes, how about that? And I've gone, okay, let's just do it anyway. And we'll send it off. And, you know, we've lost some and we've won some, and it's great. And I think every time we get a client on board where we've done something a bit different, it's really cool. So that's definitely his bag and sort of.
Yeah,
he enjoys it, and you can see. But yeah, he just is good at that because he knows, and he's done the job for a while.
I really think I've gotten to get a good feel for the way your team works, which is good. That was basically my number one goal, was to find out, you know, what it's like when a top brand like Capital has 8 producers, you know, and what it's like. And I think we've gotten that. Let me check real quick. What's your time frame like? I know we've gone clear over an hour now. Do you have a little bit more time?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all pretty good. I think Ryan needs to go shortly because he moonlights as what he thinks is a blue light disco DJ.
Oh, excellent.
So he's going to probably pop off shortly. Ed, what was your... And Ed's got to shoot very shortly too. Ed, I don't know if you were interested in any of the stuff that Ed's taking care of before he does go.
Yes, absolutely. Why don't we do that? And I, again, like I said, I've been doing my best to keep everybody involved in the conversation, but I know it's been tough. So, Ed... what are you taking care of? Because you were mentioned as someone who has what seems like an exorbitant amount of content to deal with.
Yeah, so I take care of all of the sponsorship tags for the whole network. So I don't know if you have sponsorship tags in the US. Do you? Is that something?
Well, yeah, I mean, if we're talking about the same thing where, you know, like a sponsorship tag of the weather or of the traffic or of some of features throughout the program.
Yeah, that's right. So we have sponsorship for travel, weather. We don't have anything for sport, but we have sponsorship for shows as well. And about approximately half of that stuff, half of the tags are scheduled in by another team, the scheduling team, who are based in a place called Reading. And the other half is scheduled in by us here in London. So it can get quite complicated sometimes with the scheduling and looking at dates and stuff and timing things and day parting things, but we get quite good copy instructions, so it's manageable, definitely.
Are these sponsorship tags all voiced by your talents, Howard, and I've forgotten her name, I apologize, or Joe on Extra, or the other voices, or are these things that anybody can voice and get on the air?
Well, we tend to get Helen, who's the female voiceover artist. Yeah, she'll voice the credit, so the client, and then their strap line. So yeah, she does all of those lines. So yeah, sometimes her sessions can be a bit longer than Howard's due to that fact.
Well, as Joe said, Howard is actually the brand voice. You're going to get capital with his voice, whereas Helen is doing more of the utility work, right?
She's a sweetener. She's the nice bits in between the voice of God.
Yeah, yeah. So Ed, thanks. And again, anybody can chime in. There was definitely one more major topic I wanted to get to. And so if you guys have to bail, cool. But I wanted to talk about the tools of the trade. Real quick, just somebody tell me, are you guys all on the exact same types of systems, Mac, Pro Tools, what version, etc.?
Yeah, so we're all on Mavericks. We're all on Pro Tools 11 as of this week, pretty much. But yeah, we're all more or less on a streamlined setup.
Plugins, do you have the exact identical plugins in every room so that you can open every session no matter what, wherever you are? Or do some people have tools that others do not?
No, we all have exactly the same thing. So in some ways cumbersome, in some ways good. So cumbersome in the sense that, if you want to try something new, it can be a bit hard to then open that session elsewhere, especially in our team where we share a lot of the work around, depending on workloads. But no, we pretty much just have the Wave set. We use a couple of Reactor native instrument things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we just stick with, I guess, in some ways, the kind of basic tools that a lot of people would use. I guess what makes us different is how we use them, rather than the fact that we have the same thing everyone else has. And we use a lot of the standard Pro Tools stuff. They actually sound really, really good.
Oh, yeah. Starting with version, maybe 9, the Air plugins and all the stuff that Pro Tools comes with, they're all really quality.
Yeah, yeah. So, and no need to go and spend lots of money on something if you don't need it. And I guess being from New Zealand, where we have a saying, number 8 wire, where you just DIY anything. I'm really big on just, whatever you've got. Sometimes not having the coolest stuff makes you try harder with the stuff you've got. So I kind of believe in that. Even though we're at this, kick-ass station with, a great resource of 8 producers, it doesn't mean we need to go and drop £5,000 on a bunch of plugins that we hardly ever use.
Or you don't have to be buying every single compressor that ever comes out or every EQ that's coming out. You have a few good ones and you don't need to buy the next 30.
Exactly. If you've got something that works, why do you need to go and spend a bunch of money on stuff you might not use?
Yeah, 2 questions that just came to my mind immediately. I would imagine, though, that you need some things to be extremely uniform, the continuity throughout all of the branding that gets produced, i.e., is the master bus, for example, that everybody is using the same? Do you guys have a standard template on your master so that sort of the final output of everything is similar, or am I overthinking this?
No, we go one step further. Everything is templated. So we have voice chains set up. We have a style of mixing that we all use. We have a master bus set up so that there is kind of no deviation from the sound. That doesn't mean that there isn't room for experimentation or tweaking, but by and large, the idea here is if Joe makes something, it's going to sound the same as if Ed makes something. It's going to sound the same as if I make something, because I guess, again, the idea is although we have eight people, we want it to sound like one person has been in charge of this.
Hey, somebody give me an idea, because I want people to learn as much as they can also. Just tell me what's on the master. What do you guys have on your master bus template? What plugins and in what order?
Everyone's pointing at me. So we have, I'm going to try and remember off the top of my head because it's been a while.
We do have a limiter.
We have a few limiters, don't
we? Oh, good.
We?
You have a limiter. Good, good.
I guess the part of the way we work is I'm the guy that gets the kicking if things don't work. So I'm the guy that kind of makes the template. And I guess our master is, I'm a big fan of little and often. So you might, where someone might use a compressor really heavy, I might use three really, really light.
Okay.
So I do things like that. So I think our master is actually pre and post EQ from a compressor, which is in the middle, and then a couple of limiters set really, really light. To give us a nice full sound without kind of, you know, because when it hits that on-air processing, it's going to get absolutely slammed. So it's about...
So like your fourth and fifth element on the master are both limiters? And would you need to use two limiters on top of each other on a master? Why can't you use one?
So the idea being that you use one to kind of catch some of the bits, you know, like your wild peaks and kind of average out the level.
Like the transients, to kind of manage your transients.
Correct. And then that last one is kind of set slightly more brick wall.
Okay.
And I guess the reason I do that is something I learned where compression is multiplicative. I always have to say that really slow.
Uh-huh.
so like you have two compressors set 2-1. That's essentially the same as setting something 4-1. But if you have three compressors set 2-1, it's not going to be 6-1, it's going to be 8-1. So you kind of start to get into a sort of slightly different realm. And by setting them, you can get away with this almost the same amount of compression, but less feeling of crunch by daisy chaining in that fashion. So I can't remember where I read it. It may be something that like Tony Maserati or someone like, you know, someone who actually produces music for a living has taken this approach. And I've gone, I really like that because let's all be honest, radio is compression land. So if I can find a way to do it without, if I can find a way of doing it without sounding like I've just pretty much limited everything, then, you know, we're going to be better for it.
So for those that haven't tried that out, that's a really good thing to try out. You want that fat sound, but you don't want it to sound like it's over fattened. Let's go with two compressors and get a little lighter. I mean, two limiters and go lighter on them. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. And pre and post EQ is the biggest thing I ever learned.
So just to explain that to people, you're putting a compressor on, then you're putting an EQ, then you're putting another compressor.
Other way around. So you go, you EQ it first, then you compress it. I compress it twice because, as we just talked about, then you EQ it again.
Sorry, I'm an idiot.
So the idea, you're fine. So the idea being, because bass frequencies pump compressors more, do you really need them if the end product is not going to be a bass noise? Equally, you might want to change the way the bass reacts with your compressor so that after you've compressed your signal, you can then either EQ it back in... Or you can at least massage it in a slightly different way so that you get that really booming voiceover without having that kind of pumping feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you listen to dance records and you can hear the kick drum pumping everything because they've done like a... Yeah, exactly. If you get your bass wrong with compression, you get that feeling anyway. So you can get around it using lots of compression and all of that kind of stuff by using some pre-EQ to kind of massage your bass level so that then when you come out the other side and it's all been leveled out again anyway, you can actually modify the signal when it's more even.
Okay, I understand. So it's, in other words, it's better to EQ a signal that's a little more leveled out, evened out, than it is to not. So you do some EQ, but then level it out a bit, then you EQ it again so you can really fine-tune the exact frequencies that you want coming out in the final mix, something like
that. Yeah, that's what works really well for me.
Cool. Well, now I've already... Okay, this was worth it. Thanks, guys. I wanted to talk about other tools. because again, I'm trying to like cruise along here. Now everybody has, you know, imaging effects they go to, beds, music libraries, other things like that that we like to use. What kind of things do you guys use there, and or how much are you actually making yourselves in-house?
Okay, so the tools that we use in-house.
Well, we don't really produce any of our own beds in-house. We normally get those from external production libraries or just tracks that we've heard that we think will sound cool.
Are we talking Wrong Planet or Beds and Beats, those kinds of services?
Yeah. KPM.
We tend to get lots of beds from like Beatport and stuff.
Okay.
Because I think for the Capital sound, you want it, well, we want it as close to what a music producer would produce. So I'm not saying that there's production libraries out there that can't have composers that can produce like that. Personally, I find if you go to somewhere like Beatport, you've got that. You've just got that bigger sound. And we do use production libraries. But again, I think most of it is if you go to Beatport, you can manipulate the beds how you want them and you can make them as effects when you need them.
Do you guys get to use Beatport for free there also because of the difference in licensing there in the UK?
No.
No, why do you? Because if you do, we'd like to know what you do to get it for free.
Can you send it to us?
No. But I know that the licensing, it's left my brain. I've only talked about it 100 times on this show. But where your licensing is, I don't know, it's better there. So you can use all this music from, for example, Beds and Beats. You could use that music free, and then they get compensated much better in the back end.
Yeah, I'd tell you, Craig, like, I'm quite lucky because I look after, as well as imaging, I look after a lot of specialist shows. So I get sent most of the tracks that are on Beatport already. And these guys want to get their music heard. So we kind of get the music for free.
Okay.
And then we use their stuff to make our imaging. And they're happy that they're getting their stuff on the radio. And then people listen to it and go, oh, I recognize that tune. Because we ran a Pink promotion a few months back. I got sent some music that I thought would work really well for it. And when the Pink promotion was on, people were tweeting asking what the music in the promo was. So it kind of benefits producers.
Oh, is that right? That really happens like that? That's cool.
Yeah. So that's when these producers are like, okay, cool. We want to get our stuff on the radio and
I think it's cool as well. Me and Andrew, we both DJ, and it's quite cool to see how the music that we use in our production matches kind of what we're playing to, like, in clubs and stuff. And because of our audience, they're young people, what they want to be hearing is stuff they might hear when they're out in clubs and stuff. So we need to be like changing what we play so that it represents that. So the music you might hear on Capital a couple of years ago won't be the same stuff that you're hearing on it now. For example, right now there's more. Not so much dubstep anymore. We've now moved on from that, but there was dubstep on air. There's the Electro House, which is always one of our staples. On Extra, we're using a lot of trap, a lot of glitch hop, a lot of stuff like that, and that always changes. And we're always looking to improve that as well.
To acquire the sounds that you're using, whether it be this music and some of the stuff, as Joe had pointed out, obviously you don't get for free. Is there some sort of a set budget that you guys get to work within and then spend that each month? Or is it kind of like, hey, Chris, I want this. Give me money. You know, how does that work?
Well, the cool thing is, like, Andrew was talking about just before, he's really well connected with a lot of the people that send music in. So quite often we'll jump on Beatport. Have a look around. Okay, I like these tracks. Any chance you've had them come in from some of the promoters for the specialist shows?
Yeah.
Yes or no? And the other avenue we've got is we've got quite a nice deal with iTunes on Capital. So we get iTunes vouchers usually bought, and then we'll just go and check on iTunes. If not, I'll just buy it because, to be honest, what's £2 or £3 for better ratings, and maybe one day they'll sling us all some cash.
Yeah, right.
So I'm seeing it as a write-off. I mean, I guess really what we like to do is everyone can have access to all of these really great libraries that, you know, and some of them are really, really, really good. You know, these proper libraries that are written for radio and TV.
Yeah.
But my thing is, and I mean no ill will to any of them because they are brilliant, but if we use them, then it means anyone else can do what we can do.
Yeah, I understand. So you lose that unique factor.
Exactly. And I'm really, really big on, you know, all of us are so talented enough to be able to work with whatever we get thrown at us. I like us to be able to build something from the ground up, because it gives capital its own feel, you know. And I would rather, I guess, you know, we talked about ego before, but the little bit of ego in me does say, I want people to emulate us. I don't want to emulate other people.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that is what drives us all to be, you know, better and make Capital an awesome brand. I mean, there's always going to be stuff we can get better at. But if someone somewhere listens and goes, I really want to be able to do that, then hopefully they've learned all our secrets from this.
Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, you can replicate some of the tech stuff, but you can't literally clone a human, and you guys have the humans there, right? So we can't get us a Joe or an Andrew or a Chris.
Or,
one final thing, Ryan, on these tools, just because I'm curious, and it's always getting thrown around on forums here. You know, how much of these zips, zings, hits, wipes, booms, splats, all that? Because I know, Chris, you're into producing some of that also. But how much of that do you guys actually use in your imaging? Does it still have a place? And where do you get that stuff?
Yeah, I think at Capital we like to overdo it, I think. And I think... yeah, we're getting some nodding from that. We like to overproduce. I mean, that's part of the sound, to make it sound really massive.
Yeah.
But yeah, we use a lot of the effects that I've built over the years, which mainly comes from working in New Zealand and not having budget at all. So just, I had to make sounds. I didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we use a lot of that. We did have kilohertz, and that was brilliant. But having had it for sort of 5 or 6 years, we wanted to try some new stuff. So we've moved off, and we've got a package from Dan Mumford, who used to be the head of station sound at Radio 1, who's gone freelance.
Yep, I know. I don't know him personally, but I know of him for sure.
Oh, he's a wicked dude, and he did us a bit of a package to use, which is going to be really exciting. So we're starting to look into using some of that. But I kind of feel we're moving away from having one provider and trying to get into a realm where it doesn't matter where the sounds come from, as long as it's going to fit what we're trying to create. So, you know, anyone's got anything good, send it in. We'd love to use it. I mean, that's kind of the vibe we're going for. You know, because we don't want to get stale and stagnant and be stuck with one thing for too long.
Absolutely, absolutely. Is there a barter set up there? Are you able to get products and literally barter commercial time on any of your properties, or is that not something you do there?
No, it's not really a UK kind of vibe, actually.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff we'll pay a license fee for, and then from there, we'll pay royalties, like performance royalties. So let's say, because Ryan, I know you did some beds and stuff in the past, so if we wanted to use them, we would report our usage of them, like down to the second.
Yeah.
And then you would get paid based on the amount of plays.
Tell me, I spaced out, I brain farted before. What's that called there? I've brought it up many times before.
It's called PRS in the
PRS.
UK. It's called it's called APRA or APRA in Australia and New Zealand.
Okay.
There are many different societies, performing rights societies, basically, across a lot of Europe and I guess the colonies, so to speak. But yeah, so a lot of people do deals that way. I mean, Beds and Beats work that way here.
Yeah, I know Dave really well, you know, very well, and I know that he does that. That's the way his works. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and so it's a way that a lot of businesses function over here. So we certainly work that way too. And in so far as if someone's got something that we'd like to use, we'll certainly do a deal or have a chat about whether we can use it, and we'll be sure to report the usage of it because I mean, law requires us to, and so we report every second as close as possible.
And you know, it can be extremely lucrative. If I were to make a track, you know, a 30-second long track, whatever, and you guys use it in a promo that runs 50 times on your entire network, I mean, that can be extremely lucrative to someone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we've used in the past a lot of stuff with IQ Beats in Seattle, and those guys are they love it when we use some stuff from them. It definitely really pays off.
Yeah. That's what I thought. And obviously it's the same with all the stations. But This is great. I know everybody's got to run. We've been going over almost an hour and a half. You guys are so generous, and this was such a big event for me for this podcast. It's something I've been trying to do is do, you know, bigger event interviews, and this certainly will go as one of the top. Any final words, though? I don't want to say goodbye. I hate goodbyes. Anything
else?
Why
don't you come and visit us next
time? Come visit us, American
Ryan.
And
we do like a vodcast, and we'll do vloggers and stuff.
Mm. Absolutely.
We'll be a vlogger next time. Come down.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to come to the UK. I've been planning that trip, you know, for a few years now. You know what it is? It's the time now. It's not even the money. It's the time. Who has time, right?
Actually, I've got a whole new idea. Why don't you fly us over?
Oh,
that's a better idea.
I know.
That could work.
Just the five of you or then. All eight of you?
Whatever you can stump up for.
Yeah. How about...
Most importantly, the ones that are here, right?
The others miss out. They didn't show, so...
Oh, they missed the free trip to America.
They're dead to you,
remember?
They're dead to you.
This has been so cool. Yeah, no, I will demand that I get a tour of your facility when I do come to visit London, which will happen. You know, with that, I will just simply say thank you all so, so very much for being on the podcast. Before I forget, I have links to audio, some other information from you guys, and big long form demos. Everybody can go to my website and check those out. But there's SoundCloud links I have. Anybody want to toss out their Twitter? You want to get some followers on Twitter?
JoeGodfreyMusic.com.
.com. At Twitter.
Oh.
You don't have many followers, do you?
No. What's Twitter?
Twitter.com/
/.
What's your at?
IHaveNoBrain.com.
What's your at?
It's at Joe Godfrey Music.
Excellent.
I'm at C_S_Nickel.
Catchy.
I know, it's really catchy. Yeah. My own name was taken.
Mine is at Andrew_K_Wilson. It's about as catchy as Chris's, to be fair.
It's catchy, but it's not as cheesy as this. Mine is at DJ Ryan Arnold.
Yeah, that is cheesy.
Yeah. Sorry.
And mine is at Bummins. But...
I do have wonderful parting words, if I may. Very quick story. Ed, bless him, on his first week, we took him out for burgers just around the corner from the studios. And I said, "Oh, Ed, do you mind that we call you Rummins?" His last name being Rummins. And he said, yeah, no, I'm all good with that. At least you don't call me Bummins. And that's where the Twitter came from.
And so instantly he became Bummins forevermore.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. That happened. All right. Excellent. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ryan.
Cheers, Ryan.
Round of applause for American Ryan. Come on.
Hello, Ryan.
All right. Everybody, hit the website. We'll get more information on them. And definitely find a way to listen to Capital FM or anything on the Capital Network. It's amazing. All right. Thank you, guys. Until next time we chat or see each other. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. The producers.
Just one more time to say thanks as I round out the show here. The two-parter with Capital FM that most certainly could have gone on and on and on. I don't know. I always come up, you know, I do plan these interviews. And I have maybe, I don't know, let's say it's 12 topics that I think I want to get into. I might hit four of them. And then everything else is just questions based on that and, you know, where it goes. And that's fine. But definitely I could do another hour or two or three with the team there. So just thank them so much one more time. I actually, you know, some people travel a lot, I'm sure. And people, like, especially in America, that have been to the UK many times, been to London. I never have. I've never been to Europe. I've never been outside. Is this true? I believe it's true. I've never been outside of North America. I've lived in every time zone as a radio person. I've lived in something like 8 states. But usually if I take a trip, it'll be to Colorado to see family, the occasional trip to California, and then mostly it's Vegas trips. Yes, I am a degen gambler on the side, but a profitable one. So, you know, for whatever that's worth. Anyway, I definitely plan to get a trip out to the UK. I'm gonna do a whirlwind. I'm gonna see all my brand new friends in London. Some of them, I have plenty of old friends now in London. There's at least 3 or 4 different facilities I want to visit. I'm gonna try and swing over to Germany. You know, just jump on a train. I hear they have trains out there that are actually convenient and work well and are reasonably priced. And I'm gonna do one of those things. Find my way over to Germany. See some of my, you know, my friends over there. It's gonna be great. So someday I'll do that. I'm really actually not bragging. I'm really making fun of myself because I am such a stick to the borders of America kind of guy, and I don't want to be that. But anyway, all right, let's get serious for just a minute. I get things sent into my blog all the time. This one, it's sad. You know, I should have a more recent update. I just don't. I just haven't heard anything in the last week. Past guest Steve Pygott, who was the ex-CEO of Real World, offered up a great interview, you know, and just a ultra-talented producer and more than that, you know, businessman, you know, media human being. Anyway, Steve was diagnosed with leukemia. I have a link on my blog if you'd like to go support. This is the first chance on the podcast I've actually gotten to say anything about it, but, you know, it's the internet. Things get passed around real fast. So when I put this article out there, it got spread around, and hopefully people are going to, you know, help him and his family out. And if I get a further update, I will absolutely put that out on my blog. And then, of course, anything I can put out on the podcast in the future. So I'm actually just checking his site right now. And it looks like he's raised a bunch of extra money for the family. Not him, this site here. Anyway, I'm not good at talking about personal things, to be completely honest with you. So go to my website, hit the blog, the Steve Pygott support link. I'll keep it near the top of the blog for a while. And we'll take it back up to a bit of a more positive note. But I will say all the best to Steve and his family, and I hope he recovers, you know, 100% and is back at it. If you have something to submit, I'm always wide open. You can use the contact form on the website. You can email me, ryandreen@gmail.com. I'm always on there. I'm on the Facebook. I'm on the Twitter. It's @rdreen. However you want to get in touch with me, anytime you have something cool to submit, I'm happy to do it. I've got a really cool studio build coming my way from Paul, whose name I am instantly forgetting. Paul, I apologize. I'm looking up your... I'm sorry, Seidel. Paul Seidel. I just brain fart all the time, especially with names. I'm terrible with names. Anyway, he just rebuilt a studio. It looks amazing. He's going to give me a whole big post about it. So these are always fun. And he's got a time-lapse video, too. So this will be fun to see for people that are thinking of embarking on a big studio build in their own home. Paul might give you some words of wisdom and show you something that'll help you build the studio of your dreams. Check that out on the blog. Anything else that you want to submit, like I said, always ready to take it. All right, that's enough for this one. One more time, thanks to my new best friends at Capital FM, Capital Network, Capital Extra, Capital TV, Capital World, Capital Universe over there in London. And until next time, bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.